Great. It's my privilege to introduce a longtime friend and also a family that we as a church body have supported them in their ministry for many years now. I'm not even sure how many years that has been. Do you know, Craig? Quite a few. Craig and his wife Shannon and their family have served as missionaries in Brazil. I believe it was 14 years. At least I got one fact right. Now they are currently living in North Carolina, Waxhaw is the name of the town, and he is VP of Transportation Services. You're nodding your head, so I'm good there yet. His family, he has a Daniel who is now married to Brooke. I just got that name this morning. Emily, who will be engaged or is engaged to Timmy LaCrome. Well, I wrote it down. and Abigail and Maddie are their two other children. So collectively, we've been part of their support team as they serve JARS, which is Jungle Aviation and Radio Service. And they support organizations like Wycliffe, and I believe it's others as well. In furthering the gospel, getting out, and also some humanitarian sides to that as well. You can talk more in depth on that. I think that's all I had to say. So without any more introduction, Craig Russell.
Well, Dave, you did amazing. My wife Shannon is the name person in our family, where she will know people's names and who they were before they got married, and she didn't even grow up in this area. So I'm without Shannon this morning. So good morning. The first thing I want to say is thank you. Your church and personally Dave and others have been part of our ministry for many years, and this was an opportunity for me to come in person. Sometimes an email doesn't communicate that, or an update or something like that. So thank you for getting me in here this morning. I know it's a busy morning with the Christmas festivities, so I won't take a lot of time. But Mike invited me to just come and give, some of you probably don't know or remember who we are. So I'll give a brief background of our journey and tell a little bit about where we are today and what the Lord's doing and could be doing in the future. So in 2001, September 11th, 2001, my wife and I, and at that time our two children, were on an airplane to Brazil when the towers got hit. So we were 30 minutes from Philly and turned around, and then for the next several days we just kept rescheduling our flights. We were the second flight out of from Washington Dulles to Houston. We were the second flight out of Houston internationally when we took off. Served in Brazil, went through language school. I served as a pilot mechanic down there, like Dave said, for about 14 years. My wife's a school teacher. We participated in just about every type of education platform you can have for your children. So we did homeschool, mission school. We did Brazilian national school for a while. And we even sent our son off towards the end of our time in Brazil to a year of boarding school. And that really was the point that we said, we need to transition back to the U.S. so our kids can transition well into university or whatever God's calling them to. We felt like our ministry was starting to compromise their ability to serve in the future. They were great in Portuguese, but they weren't going to be able to get into the Brazilian system, university system. And their Portuguese, English, they were fluent in both. But if you don't grow up in the U.S., passing an SAT to get into a university would be challenging. So we transitioned back. In 2015, I started as director of aviation at JARS. So JARS is, like Dave said, just south of Charlotte and Waxhaw. That's our headquarters. So what we do is prepare missionaries to go overseas who then support Bible translation scripture engagement ministries. So we do four-wheel drive training, motorcycle training, and aircraft training, and so land, air, and sea. And so it's young families going over to serve in a remote environment, how to drive a four-wheel drive, because when you get overseas, it's probably manual transmission, and there's a good chance it's four-wheel drive. So young folks growing up today, we're running out of Kansas farm boys and girls. And so we just had a couple, so now I'll jump up to today, but just to give you a background of what JARS does, we're logistics, transportation technology, so that people who need to engage with God's word, we close that access window. Think of us as the last mile in a supply chain. So you get on a commercial jet, you land in Central Africa, you get on a smaller plane or you drive to an area, you're only halfway to your destination where the people without God's word live in remote communities. So anyway, recently a young couple arrived in Papua New Guinea and they went to rent the mission car at the mission compound, and the manager over there said, sorry, you don't have an international driver's license or a U.S. driver's license. He got to talking to them. They had never driven a car. They lived in a city. They used Uber, Lyft, and city transportation. They wanted to serve the Lord, so here we go. They land with another organization, and the organization calls us and says, not only do we need manual transmission training, four-wheel drive training, these folks don't even know how to drive. Can you help us? And so I grew up here in Lititz. My parents had a farm in Mountjoy. I grew up driving tractor before I should have. You know, you slide off the seat and push the clutch down. At the end of the row, somebody runs up and turns the wheel for you. three speed on, you know, three on a tree or whatever. That was my world. I worked for Glenn Stauffer pouring concrete while I was in college, and his fleet of vehicles is diverse. So I had the opportunity. So when I got the JARS, I could just about drive anything, fly anything. And so back to Brazil, the Lord gave us an opportunity where I had a four-wheel drive in a small boat. I'd take missionaries in and out of the community, driving on a Trans-Amazon in a four-wheel drive, get to the end of the road, get in a boat, take them to the village. I had a motorcycle, whatever. So coming back to the U.S., I had participated in all phases of transportation. So that was the door God opened up for me to serve in my current role. I get all three modes of transportation. A lot of people don't have that background, so it just shows how God prepares you and equips you for what he calls you to do. So we're back in the U.S. Shannon's teaching at a local elementary school. She really wanted to have a local ministry and be involved in the community, and God has blessed that. If I put a slideshow together, I would show you the little Christmas gift she got from all her students. It filled the kitchen table. So she has an active ministry, and she is really plugged in there. She does work with JARS for the young couples coming through. We do cross-cultural training and so forth. So you've been a part of helping us and supporting us to do that ministry. Why is that important today? I believe that transformation happens when people engage with Scripture. The Bible says, my word will not return void. There are people today, over 1,900 languages, that do not have John 3:16. They do not have Luke 2. They cannot do a demonstration, an acting out of the Christmas story. They don't have it yet. 680 million people without God's word. So when COVID hits, when visas become complicated, when transportation through an area, I was in Central Africa in January of 2020. That was my last international trip. We were visiting with the persecuted church leader in Central Africa, and he was saying, I need motorcycles. I need equipment to for my people to travel in. He said the insurgency in CAR, Central African Republic, is all the insurgencies are going in, burning down churches, and they ride in a flock of motorcycles, burn a church and leave, and the pastor rebuilds it, and the community rebuilds it. And he said, we can't access that. And the reason is, they don't want to drive on the road. So there was a time in the 80s where they say, oh, mission aviation won't be needed in the future. Now the nationals are wanting mission aviation. And Central African Republic has been asking for an aviation program, their leadership over there, directly to JARS for about 6 years now. The unrest is too great to bring it in, but it makes me think. COVID, political unrest, insurgency cannot be an excuse for people to not be able to engage with God's word. So is JARS needed in the future? Yes. I actually think the niche we play, we don't do Bible translation, we're not really pastors. Everybody's a pastor teacher when you engage with someone. I say every time a baby's born, a Bible-less person is born, you know, that they don't have the gospel yet. So our job's not done. But where JARS's unique ministry is, we're tactical, practical, we're operations people. There are a lot of gifted linguists who have a PhD in linguistics, but they can't change the light bulb in their house. That's where we want to come in and help. You know, you don't want them driving a four-wheel drive on a muddy road and taking an advanced course. We have a upset and recovery course. So if your four-wheel drive rolls over on a muddy road, JARS teaches you how to use block and tackle and get it back up on its wheels. Fix a flat tire in the mud and the sand. Not easy, but there's a way to do it. It's that tangible stuff that JARS wants to bring to missions. To let the Bible teachers, the seminary trained people teach God's word, we just want to make sure they have access to the scripture. So, thank you. All that is not about JARS. It's about groups of people like you who are committed to being part of the team and making it possible. The folks we fly in our airplanes and drive in our trucks in a lifetime probably won't have enough of personal resources to fund that on their own. And so I don't generate a salary. Shannon gets paid a teaching salary where she works, a teaching assistant. She's a TA. But in our work in JARS, we don't get paid. It's your support that maintains our ability to live, feed our family, and do ministry. And that's what I want to say thank you for. So I'm probably out of time, but any questions that you're like, you know, there maybe there's a question that you've read an email or you've talked to somebody like, what do they do? What does a normal day look like in the life of a pilot in Brazil? I don't know. Anyway, I'll take 2 minutes for questions. Is that good, Mike? When we got back to the States and transitioned into U.S. culture, so we would serve for 4 years, come back for a year, and we'd visit all our churches. Now that we're living here, we have to learn how to get to the people who continue to support us, and that's been a challenge because you don't get a year off to travel around and thank all the churches. So we want to do a better job of communication and making you guys feel part of our ministry. But one of the, just a simple thing, like you guys, so one of the most encouraging things to a full-time support ministry family is to hear what you're doing in ministry. That encourages us. So it has to be a two-way communication. Like I walked in this morning and I heard about how you guys raised money to put a roof on this building so that this ministry that takes place in this building can continue. So you have a local ministry. Man, that was a shot in my arm. I'm going to go back and tell Shannon, say, this is what New Beginnings is doing in Mannheim. And that keeps, you know, because on our own, we can be the Elijah or Elisha. Which one was in the cave? See, missionaries need to read their Bible more. But So Elijah was in the cave, and the Lord passed, and he was having a pity party. He was a victim. Oh, I'm the last one. I'm the last one. And coming, having a group like you folks, it makes the missionary out there, we're not the last ones. You guys are involved in ministry. You're keeping the word of God going, and that's encouraging to us as well. So thank you.